Good morning. My name is Rachel Atwell, and I'm a graduate student in the Crop Science Department at North Carolina State University under the advisement of Chris Reberg Horton. And today I would like to talk to you about a study that we did in collaboration with Stephen Mirsky and his team at the USDA Beltsville Station and the Rodale Institute on evaluating starter fertilizer sources in organic no-till maize production. No-till agriculture is increasing in popularity amongst our organic stakeholders for reasons that we've heard throughout all these organic management sessions and in the last talk. It's particularly of interest to our growers to alleviate their sole dependence on tillage as their primary weed control mechanism when weather's unpredictable and they can have unpredictable cultivation. The roller crimper can be utilized to terminate cover crops, thereby creating a weed suppressive mulch. And this system has been successful across a range of organic production scenarios. Particularly in our region, this has been successful in organic soybean production, where rye has been used as a high biomass cover crop. But for organic maize production, it's desirable to add a legume cover crop in there to provide more nitrogen for the maize crop. However, supplemental N fertility may be required beyond that provided by the cover crop. So our objectives in this study were to evaluate different starter fertilizer sources and their impacts on yield and weed competition in organic maize production. We conducted this study during two maize growing seasons, 2013 and 2014, at four locations across the eastern seaboard. For this talk, we are going to focus on the 2013 data from the USDA Beltsville Research Station and our two locations in North Carolina, Kinston and Salisbury. For this study, we selected one cover crop mixture that was planted across all of our fertility treatments, and this was a rye hairy vetch mix. We seeded the rye at 100 kgs per hectare and the vetch at 13.5 kgs per hectare. And we planted our cover crops into a clean tilled seed bed. And we really tried to get the cover crops established as early as possible so we could maximize our spring biomass. And so at our three locations, our planting dates range from mid-September to mid-October on the cover crops. We terminated the cover crops using the roller crimper at planting. That's a picture on the right of our cover crops at planting when we rolled them, and then 1 week again after planting. And at our three locations, we had a wide range in our cover crop biomass. At Kinston, North Carolina, which was our lower fertility site, we saw biomass averaging around 6,500 kgs per hectare. And at Salisbury and Beltsville, our higher fertility sites, we saw much higher cover crop biomass. We ran this experiment in a split plot design with our main plot as fertility, and we'll discuss those fertility treatments momentarily, and our subplot as weedy versus weed-free conditions. We had four fertility treatments. The first was a top-dress poultry litter treatment where we set the rate based on our yield goals. And this treatment would look more representative of what most of our organic maize farmers in North Carolina are doing right now, getting a few tons per hectare out there of this loose poultry litter. And depending on what your application rate is going to be, that would range between $150 to $300 per hectare. Our next two treatments were our subsurface feather mill treatment and our subsurface pelleted poultry litter treatment. That picture in the bottom right corner is a picture of what that pelleted feather mill material looks like. And the pelleted poultry litter material looks very similar. So we utilize the starter fertilizer boxes in that red circle to make this application. And with that set to wide open, with this pelleted material, we could deliver between 620 to 670 kgs per hectare of these starter fertilizers. So for the subsurface feather meal material, that transferred into about 65 kgs of plant available N per hectare. And for our subsurface pelleted poultry litter, that was about 10 kgs of plant available N per hectare. And we know that that's not very much, but we were interested to see if just a little bit of nitrogen could give the corn crop a competitive advantage against the weeds early in the season. So beyond the differentiation between nitrogen provision in those two treatments, we have a large differential in price. That feather meal material is very, very expensive, often utilized on specialty organic crops, but it doesn't provide any phosphorus with an analysis of 1300, so it may be the only viable option for growers limited by their phosphorus inputs. And we can see that that pelleted poultry litter treatment is significantly cheaper. And our final fertility treatment was no added fertility beyond that provided by the cover crop. This is the planter model we use for this study. Dr. Mirsky and Dr. Reber-Horton have been working extensively to modify this no-till planter so it can plant reliably and effectively into these high residue cover crop mulches. It's particularly challenging in our mixtures where we have cover crops lodging all different directions, but we really had good stands throughout these studies, not perfect, but pretty good, so we're feeling like we're making a lot of progress on this planter setup. So now that we've gone over some materials and methods, I'd like to get into some results. So this first graph is for Kinston weed coverage, which was our lower fertility site, our mean cover crop biomass around 6,500 kgs per hectare. We've got maize growth stage on the x-axis, percent weed coverage on the y-axis, and we can see that in our no added fertility treatment, we had the highest weed coverage across all the growth stages. And in our top dress poultry litter treatment, where we got plenty of nitrogen out there, we had the lowest weed coverage because the corn crop was competitive with the weeds from the beginning of the season. Our subsurface feather meal and subsurface poultry litter treatments did not differ until the very end of the season on the percent weed coverage in those treatments. At Salisbury and Beltsville, our higher fertility sites, we had extremely high cover crop biomass and very low weed pressure overall, with only one growth stage in Salisbury where we saw an impact of fertility on weed coverage, and it was still less than 10% weed coverage at that location. We also took crop biomass samples throughout the season to measure crop N content. And once again, maize growth stage on the x-axis, N content on the y-axis. And as expected, we saw our highest N content with that top dress poultry litter treatment and the lowest with the no added fertility. What we thought was interesting about this location is that subsurface feather meal treatment and the subsurface poultry litter treatment did not differ in their N content, despite the fact that that feather meal material was providing 55 kgs more per hectare of nitrogen. In Salisbury, our higher fertility site, we saw similar trends with the top dress poultry litter treatment having the highest N content and the no added fertility having the lowest, but here we saw a significant increase in N content from that subsurface feather meal material. And our subsurface poultry litter application acted a little bit more like that no added fertility treatment here. So to look at some of our yield results, in Kinston, North Carolina, once again, our lower fertility site, we had the highest yields in that top dress treatment. And also our weedy plots in the top dress treatment yielded very well too, because the crop canopy here was very competitive with the weeds. Our feather meal and poultry litter treatments did not differ in their yields, as was supported by that in-content data. But we can see at the feather meal, poultry litter, and no added fertility treatments, we had a much larger impact of the weed presence on yield. At Salisbury and Beltsville, our higher fertility sites, we once again saw our highest yields with that top dress weed-free treatment. But we saw less yield differential amongst our other treatments as compared to our lower fertility site. We would like to acknowledge that in our no added fertility in Salisbury and our top dress treatment in Beltsville, that we have some level of weirdness going on there to have that large of a differential in yield despite the fact that we had very low weed pressure. And we have additional data sets that we're analyzing this year. We hope to shed a little light on what could be the underlying mechanism there. So what are some conclusions from this research? Well, first, we're really excited. We saw excellent weed suppression in two of our three sites in 2013, and we also saw excellent weed suppression this year at both of our sites in North Carolina. Another conclusion is maybe that feather meal material, the benefits don't outweigh the costs. At all three locations, we didn't see a significant difference in the yields of that feather meal material compared to that subsurface poultry litter material. That's very expensive for growers, so unless it's a grower that really can't apply any phosphorus, that might not be the best choice. And finally, the baseline fertility of the site should help growers make a decision about what starter fertilizer source might be best. For those with lower fertility sites where you might not get as much high cover crop biomass, it might be a little bit more important to get a couple tons out there top dressing so your corn can be competitive with the weeds and reach high yields. But on your higher fertility sites where you have a lot of high cover crop biomass, you may have a little bit more flexibility on what starter fertilizer option that you use. And with that, I would like to take any questions that anyone has.
I'm sorry, what was the application rate on the top dressed? I missed. What was the application rate on the top dressed poultry litter?
Well, in so our targeted application rate was a 1.5 tons per acre. In North Carolina, we had a little snafu with our planter speed, so we ended up putting out 4 tons per acre. This year in our locations, we've added the treatment to replicate the 1.5 tons per acre, but you know, we're just setting those rates to really maximize the yield, so that was the point there. She's coming with a microphone.
Sorry if I missed it too, but how much uptake have you had of the roller crimper use in North Carolina? And if people are not taking it up, are they talking about constraints?
That's probably a better question for Chris. I'm not sure. I think a few of our growers are utilizing it, but I think tillage is still our primary choice for the organic systems.
And so we recommend it now for the soybeans, so it's in our production guides, but not the corn yet. So I'm trying to limit adoption of corn right now until we feel perfect about it.
That was off the record. That was off the record.
Oh, sorry. I would have given you no idea if you were to.
Hi, Rachel. I just want to know, what is the average organic grain in organic yield in the area, for that area that you're covering, for corn?
Around 100 to 120 bushels. Is that per acre on corn? Is that too high? She's asking what the average yield in our area is, I think, for organic corn.
For organic corn. Okay, we lose about 30% of organic corn relative to our conventional. And across these study sites, this isn't the Midwest. You know, our long-term averages are in corn, or you know, probably on conventional corn, are only around 150 bushels, or these like where these study locations are. So.
And the other thing, just fast, how did you put the cover crops? Was it drill or aerial seeded?
We used a cone planter, so we drilled them at 7-inch row spacing.
Oh, thank you.